Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, April 20th, 2013. It's been a long week of fear-mongering by the mainstream media, so I thought it'd be a good time to balance the scales with some cosmic lovemaking with this show on conscious evolution. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Janine Justin today, who has been a longtime pioneer of conscious evolution with her Science of Evology, which we'll be discussing today. Thank you for being with us, Janine.
Well, it's an honor to be there, here, wherever we're at.
We're in cosmic space.
Absolutely. It's so strange because, we're all in this one place, but we're all separated.
Yeah. And there's no time or space. They're a global village, and it's amazing how with the Internet people listen from all over the world. I'm amazed with the response I get from Australia, Europe, Singapore, all over the place. So, yeah, Janine, I was going to begin with this thing about how my dad used to do barbershop quartet singing. And whenever we got into the car to go on a family trip, he'd have all my brothers and sisters singing rounds of this song. It was one of my favorite songs, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Dad would sing it with great gusto, and he'd get all his kids singing in rounds, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
And then you all ended up at the same place?
Yep, we had set our sails, and all those kids were just like, life's been just an amazing dream. And I wanted to begin with that because, life is a dream. Some people call it an illusion, but, we create the dream. We each create our own illusions, our own belief systems. I sometimes refer to it as BS, but each to their own BS or belief system. And I noticed that on your website, and I provided the link up there on the information I provided about you, that you have this reference to a transformation of the dream for success, both individually and in business and the collective consciousness of humanity. And what do you mean by trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, formation of the dream?
Well, that's a very good question. I started this work almost 30 years ago, and then I began to realize that the programming was really, really deep, as I couldn't figure out why people weren't changing. They were trying to, but they weren't. Then I realized that there's this trance that we somehow got programmed into, and it's bigger than, what happened to them as an individual because their father did this, or they lost, got a divorce, or this kind of thing. If there was something that put us into a trance, and so I used that word kind of tongue-in-cheek on purpose and in all of my trainings, we're coming out of the trance, we're waking up. And sometimes people refer to me as an alarm clock, and they say, well, what does Janine do? Well, she's kind of an alarm clock. She wakes us up out of our trance, and sometimes, it's been interesting over the years that certain people didn't want to wake up. They didn't consciously want to wake up, but it was their time, and I don't mince words. I just say what I say. I don't do anything intentionally to ever hurt anybody or direct it at a single person. However, I have received notes or things, emails from people saying, I didn't like what you said, and then I hear sometime later, thanks, really appreciate it. I needed to hear exactly what you said when you said it. So
each to their own, their own soul contract for coming out of the matrix, the trance. Yeah. And so that concept, of transformation, the trance formation, kind of grabbed me, and I'm thinking about that, and it says, well, we're all in this dream. We're all in this, we're in this illusion or the matrix, the trance. And, as we become conscious of how we are conscious, which they don't teach in the public school system, they don't teach us how to think. They teach us what to think.
Yeah. That's why I created Visionaries University, because I kept finding that people couldn't be creative anymore. Lots, especially the younger folk, and people don't know how to think. And I find that a lot of people that were raised on farms or ranches are more connected to their common sense, their innate wisdom, and can think better than those
and homeschoolers.
Than what?
And homeschoolers, you know, kids that were homeschooled. You know, where they have more freedom to think.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, I was just looking at a picture a little bit ago, and there was this school building, and these kids were all lined up. It was on the on an internet site, and they were all lined up, and all it was one of those modules with hardly any windows. They were just little windows up towards the top. And again, I go back to my farm days, and I was raised in one of those red brick schoolhouses.
Wow.
And we could sit and look out the windows and daydream, and now I see the value of that. We weren't trapped into our 3D, five-sense reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And between recesses, you could still dream out the window.
Yeah. And then some kids would get in trouble for doing that because they weren't paying attention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
was that, were you one of those?
I actually learned by high school to be able to look at the teacher and go unconscious, go someplace else with my eyes open.
Wow.
But, you know, there was an article, I read this just this last week, about by high school, most kids lose their creativity, or, you know, they lose that spontaneous creativity for creative learning and creative thinking, because that's just not the environment, you know, that they're rewarded for, you know, in the school system. So this concept of becoming more conscious of how we're conscious, and this concept of one thing you teach, and this is what I consider, and as I've got into what you call evology, you know, conscious evolution, the science of conscious evolution, or this understanding of this process, is something that really fascinates me, because I see the correspondence to really universal laws, universal principles that I've, you know, worked with for years, I've actually talked about this a lot on Cosmic Love, different aspects of this universal law language, and I thought what I would do, especially for listeners of the show before, since I've talked about this, I would kind of give a review for people kind of new to the culture that I've been trying to evolve with Cosmic Love, and that is this understanding of the, you know, the fundamentals or of the basic principles of and the important concepts of universal law language that really are kind of a frame of reference for evology. So I thought I'd go through this before we go into your charts, because your charts are a very congruent way to understand these first principles of universal law language. And but with some basic understanding of certain terms and concepts that I've referenced multiple times in numerous shows and articles that I've, you know, published for those who are on my list. And there's about 6,000 people now on my list that I repeat these themes as I send out articles, you know, regarding this process of conscious evolution. It's one of my favorite subjects. I can't think of anything better to do. You know, we're either busy being born or we're busy dying, is my philosophy.
Well, and I want to stop and take a second here and just say thank you for all the work that you put into the contributions you're making to the shift of collective humanity, not only the work that you've done on yourself, but what you're continuing to do on behalf of the collective. Having done a lot of these things myself, I know how much time goes into all of this. And so I just wanted to publicly say thank you.
Oh, thank you. I don't learn fast. I've been kind of a sleeper most of my life, actually. But I like to think that I learn good, and it's finally starting to make sense, and I get excited about it, because Yeah, there's a you know, sharing it with others. There's a lot of people are really getting excited about, you know, there is a future for humanity, and that it's happening. That the shift is, you know, in process, and your evology concepts is a good way to frame that. So I thought first, you know, I'd kind of orient the understanding of the psychology of evology, you know, regarding the four archetypes of modern psychology, you know, Carl Jung, the father of modern psychology, as corresponds to the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical bodies of each person, which, as Jung goes into in his book, his classic book for the layman called Maps of Consciousness, corresponds to these ancient maps of consciousness regarding alchemy, you know, fire, air, water, and earth, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. As also corresponds with the four seasonal cycles of yearly astrology, from winter solstice, you know, fire, spring equinox, air, summer solstice, water, and autumn equinox, earth. So this is the common universal language of the archetypal maps of consciousness that Carl Jung pioneered with modern psychology. And we'll be using some terms and concepts with your charts that we're going to come up to here shortly. And we'll, you know, this, and we'll be using words and concepts that reference, you know, the psychology, basically, of evology as a function of these archetypal dimensions, you know, the you know, starting out the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual, and these four lower, sometimes referred to the four lower bodies of each individual. You know, we have, you might say, levels of density. You know, they're as thick as bricks, you know, in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the energy in motion. You know, as you get the energy in motion, the emotional, the higher mental, and the interface with the spiritual. And it's this from the top down, is the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. So from that perspective of evology, there's also then the understanding of the dimensions, this concept of these, you know, sometimes referred to as three dimensions, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimensions, and in the show repeatedly, in previous shows and in articles, I've referenced the concept of the three dimensions of the brain holodeck, and I, you know, those who are reading the article and the links and the information on this show, there's, you know, that word holodeck is linked to a whole article on this concept of the three dimensions in the brain, from the upper to the lower brain, from the left brain to the right hemisphere, and from the forebrain, you know, foresight, to the rear brain, hindsight. And the first vertical dimension is from the crown chakra, you know, enlightened freedom, which is a theme we're going to get into with your work, you know, freedom, to the lower brain, or the reptilian brain, you know, the dark unconscious, the fight or flight response of the R complex of the reptilian brain. And so that's a dimension, you know, from, you might say, a brightness scale, from, you know, from the very bright to the dark. And then that, you might say, the white light of the infinite and the eternal, you know, hits the prism of human consciousness and refracts into all the colors of the rainbow, from the second horizontal dimension, you know, from the left brain's linear logic, which is visual dominant, you know, the left brain is visual dominant, to the right brain's nonlinear intuition, which is audio dominant. So the third dimension then corresponds to the, you know, the foresight dimension of future memory, which is a really interesting concept, and one of my last speakers I had on the show, you know, has done a book on future memory, which is really brilliant, and this concept of people have near-death experience in other times of their lives where they actually, you know, there is no time or space, and they just know the future, and Jung talks about this with synchronicity, where something will happen, you know, just that you will just know something will happen that's so beyond a linear frame of reference, then we'll be going into that with your work and your charts, this movement from the linear consciousness to a nonlinear, a nonlinear concept of intuition. So
one of the things that I wanted to do was in talking about the conscious evolution. Now, have you got it set up so that folks can go actually to the internet and
matter of fact, I was going to, and I've actually put that information up there where they can go to the page, and I provided the link on the Cosmic Love homepage. And those who are listening can open, if you haven't already, you can open a separate window, because I've asked that they do that.
Okay.
But they can
It's just much easier if people can kind of see the chart. But one of the things that I discovered, I don't know if it's because I'm a Capricorn or whatever, but things have to be practical. They have to be applicable to our daily lives. And there's so much information out there and I know a lot of my friends who are just way out there. But
yeah.
I need to, in my life, help people apply information to be able to live a successful life. And so even though a lot of the concepts that I'm working with are way out there, I ground them and make them practical and applicable. And one of the challenges that I came across several years ago was that we had this whole group of people out there that were on the spiritual path. Then we had this whole group of people out there that were thick as a plank and living in, you know, the third dimension, you know, the earth plane. And then we had this group of people that were so spiritual they were no earthly good. And when I met Catherine Chardon, who brought this information through on the science of evology, it was one of her same frustrations, is that how do you integrate all of this? How do you integrate the spirit and spirit into our everyday lives? And so there's as people make a conscious choice, sometimes their life or their spirit pushes them, drags them, I think is probably a better word, drags them away from the life that they had created for themselves and moves them into something else. And so what happened to me was I was living quite successfully in the world of modern reality. I bought the success program. I got it from the time I was very young, and there was the haves and the have-nots, and my mother was really good at this. She would point out, you know, as we drive down the street, well, so-and-so lives over there, and they have more money, and they have cars, and they have this, and they have, you know, their dad does this or whatever, and it made me really aware of haves and have-nots. And I made a decision unconsciously at a very young age that I was going to be one of the haves. And I was going to climb the highest mountain and conquer the world. And along with that little bright idea, I had another idea, and that was if I gleaned a lot of experiences by the time I was 30, I could cruise, meaning that I learned all this stuff and I was ahead of everybody else. And, well, then I had a really harsh lesson there, too. And that was the lesson that you never get to sit still. If you get to that level, life demands what I call proportional living. And so if you've got the enough energy or awareness of the size of a ping pong ball, then you circulate that. If you have the size of a basketball, you've got to circulate that, or it begins to implode, and it creates depression and all kinds of things. So both of those were pretty harsh on me. Then I had a brush with death, and I had a major physical challenge towards the end of my 30th year in 1980. And that was a huge wake-up call. And when I was about to take my last breath, it was like I just made a plea bargain. I was a great deal maker. I'd been in business from the time I was 15, and I knew how to make deals and contracts and run businesses and whatnot. So I made a deal with the God force, and I just, these words came out of my mouth: let me live and I will do what I came here to do. So for anybody who's listening, there's things that like that that may come out of your mouth, and then it's like, oh no, what did that mean? That meant when I said I was going to do that, everything that was ripped out, my job, my husband, the house, everything that I had in my dream world that you were talking about
was removed.
But what I didn't have was a guide, nor did I have the Science of Evology blueprint. I was in a dark forest without a flashlight. And I was just like hunting and pecking and trying to figure out what in the world was happening to me. And the problem with me was I blamed myself. I personalized everything. I screwed up. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And when I met Catherine Chardon in about July of 1990, in that afternoon, not only did she give me a real plus, she showed me my life on her conscious evolution Science of Evology blueprint, but she also pretty much negated all my bright ideas and things that I thought I had learned. And so I oftentimes say that was the best, worst afternoon of my life or day of my life, because now what do I do? Now that I see that my illusion, my dream, whatever, the program was corrupted, now how do I pick up those pieces and start over again? So I began like most people do. I read every spiritual book. I took the classes. You know, I did the meditations and all that kind of stuff. But there still was no integration of my daily life activities. I was still trying to climb the highest mountain and make a lot of money, and that's when it really just all crashed, and I had to start the inner journey and do success from the inside out, do success on my own terms. And I had made that bargain with the God force, and then I got well, and then I allowed my ego personality self to do what many of my clients have also done, and that is back on the old, you know, outer directed earth plane success strategies. And then one more time, I got my butt kicked. And that was in July of 1984, when my big title of regional sales manager and all of this stuff that was real important was removed overnight and said, you had a contract, Janine. You're the one who made it. You better start living it. And then I was told to hang out my shingle and start helping people. And I didn't feel worthy of it, and I didn't feel capable of it. But Source just sends you who you need, what you need, when you need, if you pay attention.
So this, and let me just kind of reintroduce you here. Those who tuned in later to the show, I'm interviewing Janine Just from visionariesuniversity.org. And today is Earth Day, and Janine is going to be sharing with us Evology, the Science of Evolution, to understand the process of conscientious evolutionary ascent, call it success strategies, personal mastery. And there's principles here that I think are priceless and timeless, and I'm really grateful that you're on the show. We're going to go into Catherine Chardon's Science of Evology, and those who have just tuned in, you can pull up the coordinates for the show and the charts that we're going to be discussing here shortly in a different window of your browser. The link is provided on the Cosmic Love page for those who are listening to the show. You're on channel one, but if you go to the Cosmic Love page in a separate window and click on that link under Janine's name, it's the show coordinates that we'll be going into with the charts and graphs. The Texas concept, I think, of Evology makes it the profound simple, and that's really what I love about it. So from that introduction, Janine, have you got on your computer, have you got that first chart pulled up?
Mm-hmm. Is it the full-page chart or the one that has
Conscious Evolution, that's the one at the first one at the top on this page of Understanding Evology. And it's got some really simple diagrams. And we start at the bottom. We're going to move up. There's some orientation to the four things you need to know about the science of evology in the right-hand column. Some of you could maybe even print. You can print that page out and make notes if you want, or you can just do that on a separate piece of paper. But there are some basic concepts we'll go through here with this chart that really kind of makes the complex simple as far as the science of evology. And I thought this would be really great to go through with those who are listening.
And I love your word, make the complex simple.
Yes, make the profound simple. Einstein said that if you can't make it simple, you don't understand it. That's one of Einstein's
That's great. All right, so let's start on the bottom box then, at where the ladder is. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, and this is the work that you learned from Catherine Chardin, who, as you mentioned to me, is just like a virtual Einstein as far as conscious evolution and her evology. With this process is really brilliant, but it's simple. So we'll start there with the ladder at the bottom, which I like to think of, the ladder of life. So many of us, we climb the ladder of success, and we get to the top, and we realize the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall.
But that is the old ladder of success, and we were just supposed to climb higher and higher and higher and higher.
Yep.
So today I teach people, when they're doing this process, I teach them to take a maybe 2-year transitional sabbatical, clean their head, get off that. It doesn't just go away if you've got it ingrained in you so deeply. So, but the path of the science of evology, if you look on the bottom triangle, it's large on the bottom, then it begins to collapse to where the centering point circle is, and then it begins to expand on the top. So when you go to the graph number 2, levels 1, 2, and 3, which you'll see on the next graph, levels 1, 2, and 3, if that's where you're at, just be there. You're living in the outer world, you're living from your ego personality self, and you're following, whatever the success program is. In the next graph, it shows you where something pulled you up at least a little bit into the next part of the diagram. And when that happens, your old world of the first diagram begins to fall apart. Then the next phase is where you're solidly in the third graph there, in that next segment, which I call segment 4, which is the era of the heart and the soul. And then you think, oh, yeah, this is great. I could live like here for the rest. Then all of a sudden something starts happening again, and that you cannot stop this process any more than you can stop the process of, as the 9-month process of from conception to birth. It has its own natural evolving process. So then you start having those feelings of discomfort again, but you don't know where they're coming from. But this time you're being asked to shift one more time, and the top diagram shows where you're in the center. So you can be tuned in, tapped in, turned on. You know nothing, yet you know everything, because you're tapped in to your own inner mastery, your own wisdom, your own higher self, whatever name you want to call it. But if you're down in diagram number 1 and trying to live like you're in diagram number on the top there, it doesn't work, because you have to consciously evolve. And there's a process to that.
And the sirens start going off when you resist the process.
I couldn't sit here and shut those off. So it's about shifting. But let's go to the next, where the
chart
full
down.
Page.
Yeah, there's the second chart underneath this one we were just discussing, is the one that begins Catherine Chardin's Science of Evology, Multidimensional Transformation System. And and it's Gateway to Freedom Whole Systems Actualization Blueprint. Now, actualization, self-actualization, is a, I think Jung uses individuation, but it's the same concept.
Yeah, so, but what's nice is that, first of all, there's never, ever two people in the same exact process at any one given time.
Right.
And it doesn't matter where anybody else is. You got to determine, where am I in my evolutionary process? And what do I need to do in my life to align to wherever it is that I'm at? So if our listeners want to take a circle on that large, where it says levels 1, 2, and 3, that's one area. That's not three separate areas. And then there's 4, and then there's 5. And those are really the only ones I want to focus on today. But
okay,
when you're in levels 1, 2, and 3, you live as the majority of people live. You probably go to church, you use the medical paradigm, you believe that there's Republicans and Democrats, and you believe in the linear path of where you grow up, you know, you get your education, you get married, you have your kids, you buy your house, you acquire stuff, and then you retire. That's the model that people that are living that and can, you know, they're allowed to live that. That's the way they live their lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when the discontent starts, when it's time to, as the name of my upcoming book called When Your Spirit Comes Knocking, Just Open the Friggin' Door, the inner journey begins, and you can't stop it. And how to know, you know, some things that, you know, the listeners can think about for themselves. If they start contemplating, there was that, I think, Peggy Lee song that said, "Is this all there is?"
Yeah.
When those thoughts start coming in, or what's my purpose, or, you know,
Who am I really?
Why am I here? What the hell am I doing here? Why did I come here? Who was I, crazy? You know, but that's when those kinds of questions, those are soul-searching questions. So there's been so many things that books that are written on conscious business, and Dan Millman's book on the life you were born to live, and you know, David Hawkins' book on power versus force, and there's just lots of books out there that suddenly, when you go to the bookstore, you probably don't want to read romance novels anymore.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe even science, you know, or
science
you
fiction.
You want to read something that inspires you and uplifts you. And so at that point, you have to, and you've used the word several times, individuate. And what does that mean? That means you have to pull out of levels 1, 2, and 3 collective consciousness. And you have to individuate and become who you really are. And I need to step back for a second, because if we look at level 5, where you're tuned in, tapped in, turned on, that is the truth of our being. This work, and why I see it as so important to have this model, is the truth is that's who we are, but we forgot.
Yeah.
And then we thought we had to get an education, and we thought we had to do this, and we thought we had to do that, and we had to go to therapy and get this fixed and that kind of thing. But that's not the way this model works at all. We're just remembering. We're just waking up to who we really are. So why is the model important at all? It's important because the lived reality has to be aligned, attuned. It's like having a tuned guitar, piano.
Yeah, objectified. You know, it's like having a third person perspective where you're conscious of how you're conscious. It really helps when you can grasp the process itself. The process, you know, that is like awakening. And when you have these, you know, soul, when I sometimes refer to soul contracts, and people, when people get to that stage, when the promptings of their soul are, you know, saying, you know, there's more, and what is that? It's like, you know, the call compels the answer, or you know, that there is that you know, automatic process, like you say, you open the frickin' door, you know, when there's someone knocking, you know.
Yeah.
When
so
the soul's knocking.
When you get popped into level four, at least, you know, 1 foot there and maybe the other foot down in levels 1, 2, and 3, I don't want people to begin to look at, you know, what was wrong with them or why they didn't succeed in this or, you know, whatever experiences they had that they liked or didn't like. What's important is that you now invite your spirit, if you go to level one, it's like to invite your spirit into your body. And this was a very interesting part of my journey as well. I never realized that my mind, my intellect, was my ego personality self was running my life. And my body had to do whatever I told it to do. And in this process, you have to invite your spirit, invite your energy, if you will, and pull that all into your body, because your body has its own innate consciousness, and it knows, it can guide you, it shows you guideposts along the way if you will tune into it. Then in level two, when you're in level four, some people have a really, really well-developed brain, mind, but maybe they didn't manage their thoughts very well, because where in the world in our school system were we taught to manage our thoughts?
Yeah.
Then, so we have to become vigilant, and we've got a lot of stuff in the subconscious, but you can override all of that. You don't have to go clean it out. You just override it, but you have to begin to monitor every thought. Now, you said it earlier, energy in motion. Number three, level three, is emotions. That is energy in motion. Our feelings and are those guideposts. When it feels good, do it. When it doesn't feel good, don't do it. But we're not in touch with our feelings. And
yeah.
That's where you keep talking about the heart center and heart coherence.
Heart coherence, yeah.
That's so critical. But how do you take people who've been living in their heads and shut down and tell them, okay, now think with your heart?
It does not compute.
There's no reference point.
No reference point. And you know, it's we think in images and symbols of associative feelings. That's the left brain and the right brain. The left brain is the images and symbols, you know, pattern recognition is the visual thing of the left brain. And the associative feelings is the harmonic, you know, frequencies, the language of frequency and sensitivity to harmonics, you know, the audio dominant right brain. And you can't separate them. I sometimes refer to all these dimensions of the brain, left, right, up, above, and foreground, foresight, and rear, you know, but they're all connected. It's like the brain is switching thousands of times a second, you know, each moment, and they're all these dimensions are connected. So in a sense, there's no separation spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And people have a, you know, they have a born again experience, and where they connect spiritually with their soul or their higher self or whatever. And physically, and all the way through, I mean, you know, physically they start getting into natural foods and holistic diet, and emotionally and mentally they're all of a sudden they're conscious of how they're conscious. They're either conscious of thoughts as it affects their feelings, and you know, some people think with their feelings, and some people feel with their thinking. You know, it's like whatever's dominant, they become conscious of that process.
Yeah.
So all four lower bodies, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, you know, people get to the stage where, you know, they have these, sometimes they call them near-death experiences, you know, where all of a sudden everything is shaken up in the world, and they look at life with new eyes because, you know, they almost died.
Yeah. Now, Wayne Dyer has a wonderful DVD that is not probably one of his most popular, but it's called From Ambition to Meaning. And it's done, recorded in a Asilomar up by the ocean in near Carmel, Monterey, and California, and it is so such a beautiful story. A lot of times I will have people, when they're, you know, they come to me for help, I go, why don't you watch this? This will help you to understand, and there won't be a dry eye out there when people are watching this, because it's about people who gave up their dreams, and they became a mom, or they became a big business owner, or, you know, they became a director of, you know, movies or whatever, but they lost themselves in the process. And it's just incredibly, it's a movie, but it's real. And it really speaks to the soul or the spirit. Now, when you're in level five, you're in the flow. As above, so below. You literally, my parents told me that money didn't grow on trees. But really, you got to be an alchemist. You got to pull your future self and all the things you need to live on a daily basis. You got to pull it out of thin air. You got to literally hold very, very clear intentions. And you've already prepared yourself for doing more of that while in level four, but it becomes a natural way of life. Your consciousness shifts. Am I going to say that any of this is easy? Absolutely not. I will tell you that most of my clients over the years, I tell them if they give it everything they got, it will take them 2.5 to 3 years to pull out of levels 1, 2, and 3 and solidly anchor themselves in level 4.
And really what we're talking about is, on the way to 5, they may have flashes of level 5 or what I sometimes refer to as fifth dimensional thinking. But when it's almost like cosmic consciousness where the infinite and the eternal meet to the here and now. You know, it's like, it's almost, and of course that's what's really going on when you're, so to speak, enlightened. But how many of us are enlightened all the time?
No. Well, you know, this is what's really interesting. I think we're getting to a place right now where enough people are doing that, called critical mass, that it will pull the percentage that's necessary to just literally do a shift, because shift and change are two different things. Change is, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, but shift just happens in a blink of an eyelash. Blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye, yeah.
But,
yeah, and there's this process that, you know, any individual that rises, and this is power versus force, Dr. Hawkins, where he talks about when an individual rises in consciousness, and really, you know, basically holds that
vibration,
vibration at a higher level, it floats all boats. I mean, it actually has an effect with, can have an effect on hundreds of thousands of individuals.
Well, and I call it the osmosis shift, because if I'm just concerned about shifting me and making sure that I'm vibrating at the highest frequency at every moment that I can, that is going to make the biggest difference on the planet that can be made. So what happens then is, like Gandhi said, be the change and
you want to see. Yeah, be
you
the change
want to see. What does that mean? It means that you have to vibrate at that frequency. Now, something has happened in the last 6 months. I watched it happening over the last couple of years, and it's very sad to me, because more people every day are creating more of what they don't want faster and faster and faster. And it doesn't have to be this way, but we don't have the tools to create in these new realities and with these new energies. The majority of people don't have those tools. But I can guarantee you that if you're ill, you must vibrate from the highest state of health and well-being that you can recall or that you can conjure up. If you need a new job or new clients or business or money or whatever, you have to first be that vibration. And I'm saying this is hard work, because we've been lazy. We haven't known that this is what's happening. You cannot be in a place of want and create anything except what you're from where you're wanting.
Yeah, and stop. I had someone tell me just a few months ago, stop using the word need.
Yeah.
You know, like want. You know, just like, you know, it's like the concept of having and being. You know, for as far as freedom goes, you know, having freedom, exercising freedom, being free, to you know, basically fulfill one's soul contract, one's highest and best. You know, it's like, you know, why we came here. You know, more light and love, easier and faster. You know, it's like an upward mobile vibration.
So we can't, whatever we're trying to get away from, we're going to create more of. So we have to align with. We must be in a vibrational alignment, or we can't allow it. My big word this year is letting.
Uh-huh.
It's about letting. I used to use allow, but I really like this word letting. Yeah, let
right.
it. When you're
let it
in
be.
That. Well, yeah, there's a song by that name. But
I
when
love
you
it.
When you get to that vibration, it just comes flowing in, you know, like a Mack truck, you know? I mean, it's just like a boom, but it's usually greater than anything we would have given ourselves permission to allow. But we let the universe do it. I have a musical partner, and his name is Steve, and he plays piano. He plays probably 3,000 or 4,000 songs by ear. And it's
wow.
so interesting. He's also a piano tuner. And he, if the piano isn't tuned, his fingers don't hit the right keys. And I will watch him sometimes. He'll be back there slapping his hands because they're not going on the right key. And I see him do that. I say, Steve, stop. You know, get your tools out, tune the piano, and away we go again. But we seem to enjoy this thing called struggle. And it's just, you know, it's this new energy isn't about struggling. But if there's anybody listening today that's having incredible difficulties, what I've seen over the years is that when people pop into the level 4 or starting to move in that direction, they usually have a very severe challenge in one of three areas of their lives. It would be either physical, financial, or relationship. And what I've seen is that people are given about a 2-year window to let those little intuitive voices do whatever, and you go, shut up, I gotta earn a living, shut up, you know, I can't get a divorce, shut up, you know, whatever. But after 2 years, I don't see that we have much of a choice. What happens is like a mother cat picks that little kitten up by the scruff of its neck and puts it someplace. And that's really what our spirit does. It's not vindictive. It's not trying to hurt us. But if we keep ourselves contained, then we're going to struggle. We're going to effort. It's not going to be fun. And it's really not a cliche that we're here to experience joy and freedom, creativity. These are our natural states. But we can go through painful experiences from a place of fear and angst, or we can go through them from a higher vibration of joy. So recently I had a very, very tough experience, probably the toughest one since I really got my butt kicked during the harmonic convergence and shortly thereafter in 1987. But we can only glide or only do things for so long, and then kaboom, you know, we get another, you know, major shift. And so the real test is when we're really going through difficult experiences to force ourselves in whatever way to stay in the vibration that we would be in the event that everything was as we really wanted it to be. So whatever it takes, I have 2 cats, I pet my cats, I go for a walk in my property. There are times that I sit down with my cut crystal brandy snifter and I put fine brandy in there. And you know what? That cuts the angst for whatever period of time, and I have no judgment on anything. You know, chocolate works really well for me too. But, you know, back in July of last year, I had an amazing realization, and it goes right along with what we're talking about here, and that is manifesting our own realities. And this science of evology model is really like a computer program. And you know how they start a program, and so I'm like in InDesign, I just upgraded to 6. And I started out with like 4 or something like that. But then they changed the program. And if I don't change my program and upgrade it, I can't function right.
Yeah.
And so you talk about computers often and how they're, you know, and the internet and all this is kind of like
the
modeling.
Yeah.
Modeling for us how to do things. And that's what I see. But it's really important that I wanted to go back to in July. I had been envisioning individual I wanted to share my life with for whatever period of time. And because I'm not into any monger till death do us part, you know, marry and this kind of thing. I tried that 3 times and tried to put my world together, but you can't hold it together when it's not your life, you know?
I mean, yeah.
So, but I realized that this was out there and not something I was actually envisioning and holding the frequency for. When I started to go into that, my first reaction was, that's too damn painful. The not having was now in my face and in my vibrational field. But I didn't even realize it was that painful because I had sugar-coated everything. And we do that with our jobs. We do it with places we live. We know we want to live in this town, but we're living over here, and it's just too much to do this. And so anyway, it's just really, really important that you have to shift your consciousness, because it's what's between our ears. It's, again, I go back to the science of evology model. And for all of the listeners, if there's if you want more information about this, or I have a PDF that I can send to you that's got like 6 or 7 pages, that I'll be glad to just email me and I'll be glad to send it to you. It'll give you some more information. And I got the computer program, if you will, for levels 4 and what your life would look like, what things you have to embrace, and also level 5. And because I don't really care about 1, 2, and 3, because that's pretty much over for most everybody. So,
people listening are pretty much at level 4 as far as soul development, you know, conscious evolution.
I would think so. If 4 with a good foot in level 5, if they're hanging around you.
Well, you know, occasionally, but you know, one thing about this chart is that there's a parallel with civilization and the collective consciousness, as it is for the individual. In other words, the move from a codependence on Big Brother government to interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in other words, the sense of separation versus integration. You know, how we're either all hanging, you know, we're either going to all hang together or we're going to all hang separately, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole concept of unity consciousness and cultural DNA and again, heart coherence and mind congruence, and, you know, how we get our hearts and minds together, you know, so for winning from the beginning as far as, you know, social, cultural, you know, evolution, social consciousness in all the social media. I mean, you know, it's got to this point, you know, where the infrastructure is installed and operational, you know, with the computer internet connecting, you know, hearts and minds worldwide. But, you know, it's like the global brain is there, but, you know, the conscience within the brain is like the next step.
Yes.
You know, it's like the hardware, software, network, then hardware, this concept of how we can get our act together. Well, the process, you know, basically you've defined here and that we've gone through, this individuation process or, you know, actualization process, it really, and again, it's back to when the individual achieves it, it floats all boats, you know, collectively. And I think this is what's going on as the veil thins, and
yeah.
There's a surge in the source field, and people are waking up, and then the question is for everyone, you know, what are they waking up to? You know, mm-hmm. is the process whereby not only they get their act together, but the whole, you know, an actual visualization and mediation and concentration and determination and integration where the, you know, the collective consciousness of humanity goes through this process? Well, I think we're at that point.
Well, I think we've got a lot of help. If we take a look at the new souls that are coming on this planet, and especially since the year 2000. I do destiny consultations. I was trained by Dan Millman on The Life You Were Born to Live, and he told us back in 1991 that when these souls began to arrive in the year 2000, they would have soul codes that have never been on this planet.
Yeah.
And when the first one that came in was for one of my clients, this little boy came in, this little soul, male soul came in and could not breathe the air on the planet. The mom and dad had to come home and meet me at their home, and we did a ceremony for Salen. And we said to him, he wasn't there, of course, physically, we said to him, we're going to give you the choice to go or to stay. It's not our decision. If you don't think this was hard, I love these people. They were like my brother and sister, you know, and
yeah.
No baby when they came home. But Salen is going to be 13 in May. And he was the first soul that came in with this new code. The first thing I did was call up Dan. I said, Dan, how do I figure? There's one here, and I don't know what to do with him. So one of the things, too, is that if anybody
about
listening...
About 1 minute.
Okay.
If anybody listening is living on adrenaline, is being diagnosed with Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue, or any of those things, or the depression, that all has to do with your spirit has come knocking, and you need to live from your soul.
Jeanine, there's so much more we could talk about. We need to do a wrap here at the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. You can go to Jeanine's website at visionariesuniversity.org. And I look forward to having you on the show again, and we'll take it to the next level. And I'm grateful. So thanks to everyone for listening.
And thank you again. You're just a masterful part of this shift, probably greater than you'll even consciously know.
And thanks everyone for listening. So till we meet again, happy trails. See you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.